Blog Talk Radio.
Zion. Your host is Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry in Gilroy, California. Also, No Bounds Ministry with co-pastor Shirlene Cooks of Livermore, California. We're coming to you tonight, hopefully to inspire you and bring you the word of life. And tonight, we'll be coming, breaking bread with you, talking about greeting the seven churches. But before we get into the word, I'd like to entertain you a little bit. We're going to have a gospel artist by the name of Denitra Champ to come before you with an A and B selection. So will you listen up? Excuse me as I put the song on spin. Hope you enjoy. I'll be back after the ending of this song. May God bless you. All right. I hope you enjoyed those two selections. NB Selection by Denitra Champs. She's a gospel recording artist. She sounds so much like Aretha Franklin to me. I just enjoy her songs. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. And I just would like to know that for my guests that would like to call in, I have set up and put in place a toll-free number that you can call into the station. And that number is 1-877-598-8654. That number again is 1-877-598-8654. I would love to hear from you. If you have any comments you would like to talk on or any questions that you might have, or if you've been listening and if this program have helped, have enlightened you and inspired you some kind of way in your daily walk with the Lord, I would love to hear your comments, because I come to lift up the name of Jesus in spirit and in truth. And so we're going to go on, because we know that time is pressing and time is of an essence on here tonight. And we're going to go right on in to our subject tonight. And we are talking about greeting the seven churches. And I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Revelations, and we will start at Revelation 1, starting at the first verse, and we will continue on through down to the seventh verse. But we will start right here at the first verse, and it reads like this. It says that, It says that, let me see where I'm at here. You know what? Let's go down, because I don't want to read all that. Let's go on down to the fourth verse, the first chapter and the fourth verse. We'll start from there. And it reads again like this, greeting the seven churches. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. It says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins, his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we will conclude it here at the seventh verse. It reads like this. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen. All right, now, I hope you, God bless you, the readers and hearers of his word on tonight. And we're talking about the seven churches. And we will call out the names of the churches. We have the loveless church. We have the prosecuted church. We have the compromising church. We have the corrupt church. We have the dead church. We have the faithful church. We have those lukewarm church. Now, the Bible tells us that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we are going to talk first about the loveless church. Now, God has spoken, and God said that he knows our works. So he knows your work. He knows your labor. He knows your patience. And he knows what you can bear. And he knows that you deterred from bearing any evil, because you have been tested. And those who say that they are apostles and are not, and God find them out to be liars. But you persevered, and you have shown patience. You have labored for the sake of Christ. You have not become weary. Yet God said that he has some charges against you, that you have left your first love. You, where you have fallen, and the Lord said that you need to repent and do your first work, or else he will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you, the saints of God, repent. And, excuse me, my throat is kind of scratchy on tonight. And so we'll go on down to the persecuted church. Also, God said in his word that he knows your work. He knows your tribulations and your poverty. But you are rich. God's word says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. And it says, now the devil is about to be thrown, some of you in prison. Some of you are going to have to go to prison. But for you will be tested and you will suffer tribulations. God said for 10 days, God's word declare. He says, don't you break, don't you bend. You be faithful unto death. And God said that he has laid up for you a crown of life. We're going down to the compromising church. The compromising church is them that just, you know, go along to get along. And the Bible says that this church has committed sexual immoralities. And God said he wanted you to repent, or else he will come quickly and fight against you with his sword of his mouth. And again, he says that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Bible says that he that has overcome will I give unto him hidden manna to eat. He will also give you a white stone, and upon that stone also a new name, which no one knows except him who receiveth it. Amen. All right, we'll go on down to the corrupt church. God knows your work. He knows your love. He knows your service you've rendered. He knows your faith, and as well as your patience. The word of God declares that the last is more important than the first. God has some things he has not pleased with. He is not pleased with some of the things that you have allowed to go on in the church. And these are a couple of the things that he says he's not pleased with. He's not pleased with you having allowed false prophetess in your church to teach. Yet she's seducing the men of God, to commit this sexual immorality act with her and to sacrifice to idols. It says that God has given her an opportunity to repent, but she refused not to repent. And God said that he will come and kill her children with death. He would cast her into a sick bed. And those who have committed these sexual immorality acts with her to suffer great tribulations unless you repent of your sins. All the churches will know, God said all the churches would know, that I am he who searches out the mind and the heart of man. God will give to each of us according to your works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going down to the dead church. God knows your work. He has a name that you are saying that you are alive, but you are dead, honey. You are a dead church, according to the word of God. God said to be watchful and strengthen the areas where you are weak. So what if left remain, God wants you to strengthen those. Okay? And God has not, he has not found your works perfect. Your works are not perfect before the Lord. And God says to be watchful, or else he will come upon you like a thief, and you know not the hour that he will come upon you. Those of you that has not defiled your garments, God said you shall walk with him in white. Glory unto God. Hallelujah unto his name. God said he would not blot out your name from the book of life. He will confess your name before his Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Amen. The faithful church. God said that he who is holy, he who is true, the Lord who has the key of David, he who opened a door and no man shut, and he who shuts a door that no man can open. God knows your work. God said that he has set up before you an open door that no one can shut. God proclaimed you have a little strength. So we have a little, in other words, you have a little power. He said you have a little strength. He said you have kept his word and you have not denied his name. God said he will cause those of you that have said in your heart that you was Jews and are not, but lied. He would make them to come and worship before your very feet and make known Christ have loved you because you have kept God's command to persevere. He would keep you from the 10-hour trial which shall come upon the whole earth, God says. He says, for the trial is to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am come quickly. God said to hold fast what you have, that no one, hallelujah, take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. God's word also said that you shall not go out anymore. Hallelujah to God's word. God said that he would write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And God will write on him, meaning the saints of God, his new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. This is our final church, the lukewarm church. God knows your work. And God says that you are neither cold nor hot. And God will vomit you out of his mouth. You have said you're rich. You have become wealthy, and you have need of anything. You are blind and cannot detect that you are wretched. The word of God declares you are miserable. You are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. God has compelled you to come over where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord was going on. You have been witnessed to come to God and be refined in the fire that you may be made rich and wear white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed. All right? God said that he would anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. God said, whom He loves, he rebukes and chastens. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. God's word said, him who overcome, I will allow to sit with him on his throne. And he, Jesus, also overcame and shall sit down with his Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. I thank God for the reading of his word. All right. Now this concludes the theme of the seven churches. I pray you have enjoyed the program thus far. I still have about 30 more minutes for the conclusion of this program. So I will just kind of let the Lord lead me as I go. And I just want to point out to wherever your church home might be, I would suggest you find a church home that's telling the true word of God, that's preaching the true word of God, and that holiness is right, and preaching the word that wholeness are hell. For we know that God's word is true, and it's either living holy or living a sinful life. And God don't want any of us to be lost. God said he come at the door and knock. And if anyone open, God will come in and dine with you and you with him. And I know that God is knocking at the door of someone's heart on tonight. I know that someone, somewhere, somehow, some way, have witnessed a man of word to you, but I guess you've kind of turned the deaf ear. Maybe you feel like this is not the time. Maybe you feel like you have a little bit more of parting to do. Maybe you have a little bit more of, you know, the bars to attend, you know, those liquor bars, those Jew joints, you know. Maybe you have a little more dancing that you want to perform on the stage. But I come to serve you notice that you don't know the day or hour that the Son of Man cometh for you. And I would not let it be said too late. For God is knocking at the door of your heart, and the time is now, the acceptable time, to give your life to God. God is a long-suffering God. And as I forestated in a previous sermon, that God is not going to knock your door down. God is not going to drag you to heaven. But God will wait patiently for you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He will come in and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he will create in you a clean heart, a heart like God, a heart that's brand new. You know, I looked up the price of a heart, because at the time, my sister was a designated recipient in need of a heart transplant. And I looked up the price of a heart, and the price will knock you for a flip. The price of a designated heart is $200,000. Now, that was a couple of years ago, so the price might have really went up now. But just thinking about the heart that a person that's a candidate for a heart, you would have to spend $200,000 to replace the old heart and for the doctor to put in a new heart. Well, I come to serve you notice that God can replace you a new spiritual heart without cost. The cost for your new heart that God will replace inside of you is free of cost. So that means it's COD. COD. Or it's zero. I said that. Zero. Minus zero. Because there's no cash on deliverance, but it's zero balance. God will place in you a new heart, a heart to where you won't not have a desire to go to those places that you used to go to, to hang around the crowd and the people that you used to hang around with, to speak the language that you used to speak. You will have not a desire to talk in that retrospect anymore. God will give you clean, beautiful, friendly words in which to speak. The friends that you used to hang around, God will give you a new set of friends. Friends that will love you, that will accept you into the kingdom of God, to be witnesses, to be workers in God's vineyard. God knows that we need a lot of workers, but we know that the labors are few, but we are in need of workers to carry God's word around this planet Earth in which we live. We need workers that will get out and spread this good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I come to let you know that we change. Our attitude might change today, in a moment, in a second, in an hour, in a day, in a year. Our attitude might change. But God is a spiritual man that never changes. He's the same yesterday as he is today. God loved you yesterday just as he loved you today. He don't love you any less today than he did on yesterday. God loves you, and God wants to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to come into your heart, and he wants to set up housekeeping in your heart, that spiritual heart that he will set up. He will set up housing in that heart that you have, that you will be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will be able to tell the goodness of Jesus. You will be able to spread the good news that you once was blind, but now you see. You once was lost, but now you're found. And I know that when you meet this new spiritual man named Jesus, you will never, ever, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, you will never, ever be the same. You will have a new way of talking. You will have a new way of walking. One songwriter said that she had a new way of wearing her hair. Well, you just might have a new way of wearing your hair also. Because you will be living and dressing in the code and conduct of Jesus Christ. Because when God changes you, you will be a new creature. As I said before, you will have a new attitude, a new way of character, a new way of wearing your clothes. Because if you wore mini skirts in the world, you won't want to wear a mini skirt when you meet Jesus. You will dress in an acceptable way that's pleasing unto God. And I know God has wanted to come in and set up housekeeping inside of your heart, but you have put it off. You say, well, I'm too young. I have a lot more of, living to do. I have a lot of time to get to know God. What's the hurry? You know, I can meet God anytime. But I just want to let you know that time waits on no one. You know, and I would hate for you to be the one that had a chance to get to meet God, but choose not to, and your end result was hell and damnation. That would be a sad, sad situation to endure. And yet you had an opportunity to meet God, and you chose not to. I would hate it to be said too late for you. I would want you to give God a try. And after you've given God a try, I know once you try it, you'll find out that you like him. Matter of fact, you'll love him. Everything about Jesus is love. You know, I was just thinking about today as I was over on one of my testimonial pages, and I was saying, you know, it's all right to send out love to your fellow saint, brother or sister. It's all right to hold them in esteem on a godly note. You just thanking them for, you know, they patronize and for being your friend and, you know, whatever service they've rendered unto you. It's all right to let them know that they have been a blessing to you. There's nothing wrong with that. And I forestated that that was a God thing that God placed in my spirit to tell my beloved spiritual brother that I loved him and I thanked him for everything that he has contributed on my behalf, and not only my behalf, but on God's behalf, because we all come to serve God, and everything we do is to give glory and honor to God. It's nothing that we've done, but it's what God has placed down in our heart and in our spirit. And so I just want to let you know that God loved us so much until he gave up his life for us. Now that's love. I just don't know any other way to put it other than, you know, it's just love like no other. You know, we know that our parents loved us when we was born into this world. Our parents, they met us and they greeted us with a kiss and they cuddled us and they loved us. And even after we started growing and began to be, you know, from a baby to a toddler, and from a toddler, you know, to a one-year-old, and then we kept on growing, and then we went to, preschool. I don't think they had Head Start back in my time, but, you know, they had preschool, and then you go on to elementary, and then on from elementary to, middle school, and then junior high, and then on to high school. So So you went to several steps, you know, to when you graduated from school. So our parents showed us that they loved us by caring for us. How can a parent love you unless they show you that they love you? That's what Jesus did. Jesus showed his love to us. And he showed it to the point that he was willing to go to the cross. And he endured all the agony, all the pain, all the suffering, all the ridicule, the spit on him. They stoned him. They beat him. The Bible says that they whooped him with 39 stripes across his back. And I tell you, you know, there's no greater love. We know that our parents loved us. Our mother loved us. Our father loved us. But one thing that our parent and our father could not do, in spite of their love, they could not die on a cross to cover the sins that was brought upon us. Our parents, even in their undying love, they could not go to Calvary cross and present themselves as a sacrificial servant to wipe away and wash and remove all of our sins. It took somebody that was sinless, somebody that was spotless, somebody, the Bible says, that he did no sin, and neither was a guile found in his mouth. So we know that our parents had to be holy from the start. And if they was holy from the start, that means that they couldn't have conceived us, because when we was conceived, we was conceived in sin. So God was the only one, hallelujah, God was the only spiritual man that came down to earth in form of a man. He came down from heaven and lived on earth as man did. That's the reason he knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to cry. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be, hurt and be abused, you know, to be whooped when you're in a abusive relationship and your spouse is beating on you, you know, and causing hurt and harm and bruises to you. You know, God knows about that at first hand because he went through it. He was the first one that went through the agony and the pain for our sins. And God said that he'd taken every one of our sins and he placed our sins. When we came to God and we gave God our life to live for him throughout the remainder of our life, when we told God, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior and to live and to reign inside of me, then we made a vow to God that if he would come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior, that we would live for him for the rest of our lives. And not only will we live for him, but that we will tell the goodness of Jesus as well, as long as we are here on planet Earth. We would tell everyone that was willing to listen, that had a listening ear, that we would tell the goodness of Jesus and all the things that he has performed in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, and that we would also get out there and be servants unto God. And then we would go out into the battlefield and we would compel men's and women's and boys and girls, we would compel them to give their life to Christ, that God would make them new. They would be new creatures in Christ, and that they too would be disciples of God, and they could go and tell what God has done for them, how God has come into their lives and has began to live inside of them and has cleaned them from all unrighteousness, and now they're living a holy life before God. And anything that you've done wrong, that you can repent. Any thoughts, because we know that thoughts can enter our mind. You know, the devil can come into our mind with things that's not right, things that, you know, is not of God. And so we know that we have to ask God forgiveness on just even thoughts that enter into our mind that's not right, that's not like God. So we know that God will make us new creatures, and God can forgive us. God said he will forgive us for all sin. But it's two sins that I know God would not forgive us for, and that is self-infliction. God is not going to forgive you for putting a weapon outside of your head and shooting out your brains. God is not going to forgive you for that. Secondly, because you didn't make yourself, God made you, and God created you in his own image. And so we cannot damage that which we have no workmanship in. God created us. He created us. And so we do not have the right to take our lives. Secondly, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is a second sin that God's word said he would not forgive us for. So you don't want to say anything that's, you know, that would get you caught up with God placing you with a reprobated mind. And so you don't want to get into that. So anything that, you know, you're not, you know, if you don't agree with it, you can always agree to disagree. You know, nobody's going to, you know, make you agree to anything, even though we know that the word of God is true. But if you choose not to follow the word of God, that's your business. You know, you have that right. You can reject God, but we hope that you will accept God and not reject God, but accept God at this designated time. His Christmas is coming up on us sooner than you think, and people are going to be out traveling the roads. They're going to be traveling the skyways and the byways, and they're going to be going to and fro, and the devil is going to be riding also. He's going to be busy. He's going to have his imps with him, his baby kids, them bad-to-the-bone kids, out to seek out whom he may devour. You know, because the Bible says that the devil comes steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said that I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So I am just asking you, if you haven't made up in your mind to give God a try, I'm asking you tonight to open up your heart and be receptive unto God and ask him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to reign inside of you. And that would be the best thing you ever could have done for yourself as well as your soul. And I just hope that
you know, this message have touched you in some way on tonight. I hope that it have touched your heart, and I hope if it really entered into your mind and it touched your very core of your soul, and that you will have second thoughts, and that you will again give God a try, even though you might have rejected him before. I hope that tonight you will have a mindset to accept God and make him Lord and Lord of your life. I hope and pray that this show have been a vital blessing to you, and I would wish that you would call in. I still have a few kinks to get out, but God is helping me, and so we just will keep on, and until we get it, you know, perfect, we'll just keep on until we get it like we want it. But I just thank you for tuning in to Old Ship of Zion, a Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry, and also have No Bounds Ministry with co-pastor Charlene Cooks of Livermore, California. We are a combined congregational church. We are all combined. And we know that where there are God House of Deliverance, there is no bounds in serving God. And I just want you to continue to be encouraged, to just trust in God, take God face value at his word. God's word is true, and find you a church that is teaching the divine word of truth and that will help you to live a righteous lifestyle before God daily, and that you will be able to stand before the throne seat of God blameless, that you would have done what God has ordered you and I to do, and that is be a servant of God, to live for him, to tell others of him, to witness souls into the kingdom. And you know that's how you get your crown, is bringing souls unto the kingdom of God, to the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. That's how you get your crown, your diamonds, your jewels, your rubies, your sapphires, and all of that. You get those by bringing people into the sheepfold of God. And so I just thank God for you listening in. I want you to continue to listen in. And as long as God got me here with a rhema word, I'm going to bring before you what God has given unto me. And that is the true word of God as I know it to be. I don't add anything to the word of God, and I don't take away. Because God said if you take away anything, then he was going to take away from you. So I don't want to take anything from God's word, and I'm not going to add anything to it. But I just and hope that this program has been a blessing to you, and I wish that you would call in. You know, I have, like I said, set up a free number. It's a free number. You don't have to pay anything. I've had it set up. So, you know, you wouldn't have to pay anything. And that toll-free number, again, you can write it down for your FYI. That number is 1-877-598-8654. That number, again, is 1-877-598-8654. And you're welcome to call in. If you have any prayer requests, you can call in and place your prayer request. We'll be gladly to pray in faith over your prayer petition, and we know that God will hear. humble cry as we become before his throne of grace. And I'm glad that you logged on to Blog Talk Radio with the Old Ship of Zion. Your host, Pastor, is Janice Ward of God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry of Gilroy, California, / No Bounds Ministry, with co-pastor Shirlene Cooks of Livermore, California. And we hope that you will tune in next Tuesday at this same time at 8:30 p.m. on your Blog Talk Radio dial. Until then, I want you to go with God as God go with you. I want you to be blessed and tell somebody that Jesus loved them on today. I love you and Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves you first. And I'm right behind Jesus. I love you second. So you be blessed on tonight. And I just pray that you will give God a try. And I know that when you try him, you'll find out that he's the best thing that ever happened to you. And I want you to be blessed until we meet again next week. Bye for now. May God bless you. May God bless you and keep you till we meet again. Hallelujah to the precious Lamb. I thank God and I wish you a happy season. Greetings in this month of December. And we hope that God will bless you and your family as you gather gifts. And, you know, this is a season for giving. And we thank you and may God bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for gathering here tonight. Hallelujah. Bless all our listeners, Jesus. We out. Bye for now.